Hey, this is Cloud Cord.
Hi, this is Brian Moss from Spafford.
I'm Dylan Gleit from Eminence Ensemble, and you're listening.
And you're listening to Galaxy Jams Reacts.
It is time.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Galaxy Jams Reacts. I'm here with Mr. EJ Tout.
What's going on?
Mr. Adam Cohen.
Hey, hey.
And we're here with our very special guest, Dan Mason. Mm-hmm. How you doing, Dan? Welcome to the program.
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. We're so excited to be here and to listen to music together and to pick your brain. Yeah. And, you know, why don't we just jump right into it? Have you ever listened to Wolfpack before, Dan? Have you ever heard of them?
Oh, yeah. One of my friends is like a super big fan of them. And he always shares tracks with me and he shows me, like, I think they have like a lot of good like studio recordings and stuff like that, too, that they post online. They freaking kick ass and they have that warm sound that is just perfect.
Yeah, exactly. They're like you mentioned before the show, Dan, they're very, very well known for having their own compressor, especially with the drums. They have like a really, really unique sound. And I like how they're essentially like a minimalist funk band that's built to be a backing band that shows off different musicians. And so the musician they're showing off today is Antoine Stanley on the vocals. So this is Wolfpack featuring Antoine Stanley from their 2016 album, The Beautiful Game. This is the track One for One, DiMaggio.
Rolling.
All right.
And I love how they record it like in a house too. It's great.
Oh, I know. I love these studio like setup recording. It's so cool.
Yeah. Oh, dude, they fuck. They fuck hard. Yeah, this song is great.
Joe Dart does a great job.
Hey kids, guess what? It's your lucky day because you get to tell me your favorite baseball team, okay? So one, two, three. How did you know? That's my favorite baseball team too. Yes, it is. Here we go. Oh, here we go. DiMaggio. Perfect Street. This one.
Falsetto on point. Swing bada bada, 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 swing, 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 swing.
Oh man, so Dan Mason, what do you think of this song?
This song kicks fucking ass. It's like Sesame Street like style.
Yeah. It does. Like, it reminds me of that every time I listen to this song.
Like, oh my God.
It does.
The singer is like on point.
It feels educational in some way. You know, like I'm learning something about baseball.
You know, like one thing I think about a lot is so many artists try so hard to be legitimate that they're not willing to just have fun and to be whimsical and to just be spontaneous. And this, they're having so much fun in the video. They're having fun with the lyrics and the way that they're presenting the song. It's just infectious.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me a lot of Jackson 5, ABC 123, which is
definitely
is totally that same vibe that they have.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that's a great point that you made, Adam, because we were listening to some funk on a previous show and it was such a contrast from listening to Prince, who's like hyper serious about his image and lyrics and like everything he does. And then listening to another funk band called Thumpasaurus, which is very, very, very just kind of like this, like whimsical, not taking themselves seriously, but still really, really proficient. Yeah. And it's hard for artists to really find that balance between like, you know, is this really me? Is this going to sell? Is this really what I want to do? And balance that with like, you know, each other.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is so many people are so worried about selling right now that sometimes they literally lose the spirit of what they're trying to do.
Yeah. And a song like this, I'm wondering how they, like, they wrote it. They're like, oh, like, we're just going to write this song like about this and it's silly and we're going to do it in a basement. Like, how many bands would be cool with saying, hey guys, we're going to film this like in a basement looking like it's from, you know, the 70s
clip and, art and style. Would,
exactly.
Lyrics.
And be like, oh, that's what I want to do too. So just for a whole band, to, especially a very, very, very prolific musicians like those guys to get together and, you know, all agree on the same thing is, you know, especially something like this. It's insane.
Doesn't it make you feel like you're 16 and like your drummer's basement again, just like having fun?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh yeah.
Except they're way better.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
1998, it's the World Sillies in Cleveland. I'm with my dad at Joe Table. Well, he blew it. So now I root for the New York Yankees with Bartoli Colon. He's throwing 101 in the ninth inning. Well, he's the best. Come on. One.
DiMaggio. Perfect streak.
Theo Katzman on the drums. He does such a great job.
Singing and drumming too. Like, hell yeah.
Vocals and drumming is so hard.
That's a cool keyword, Brian.
Yes. Take me out of the ball game all day.
Woody Gosh,
there you go.
Seventh inning stretch on Hammond B3.
The freaking overdub. A change up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I wonder if, I mean, that was obviously recorded live, but and that was like their official release. So Right. Do you think that they actually really did that whole thing live with some minor overdubbing with effects?
I'm not sure. I mean, it sure sounded like it in a way, but I'm not really sure. Maybe not. Maybe they just had it recorded and they went in there and acted it out in there. Cause I don't know. I don't really know. I mean, I can't really tell.
The performance is very believable compared to some of the stuff you're seeing on TikTok.
Oh, definitely. Have you ever seen the video of like someone DJing and then they zoom in on the back of it and it's like their controller's not even plugged in?
Yeah. My favorite one was someone was DJing and they got a behind like the counter and there's just nothing there. They were just tapping on a table.
Oh, beautiful.
It was beautiful. But no, I feel like some of it, I mean, if they're not, they're doing a really good job
being believable,
like, right. Being believable with it. And either way, someone's playing this music at some point, so it doesn't really matter. But there is some overdubbing. I think that effect that they did at the end there, I don't know, they were stopping the tape and then they let it go on, which right. would be something you would do in post.
I'm not sure.
But I don't know if they're recording on tape or not. I'm assuming they do,
it's
knowing
it's,
them.
Maybe to get that warm sound that they have.
Yeah. And like you said at the very end, it sounded like it was a quote unquote mistake, but I'm sure that either it was and they like left it on purpose, or they did that on purpose just to get that like indie feel, you know, hey, is this a guy in a camera recording a band in their mom's basement, you know, type of
vibe. I mean, it was definitely on purpose, I feel. Oh, yeah, it sounded like they were like stopping the tape and then just letting it continue. So that's how I did that. Kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a tape stop sound.
And right when Woody came in with that organ sound, they announced the sound. They're like, oh, here he is with the Hammond. And
yeah.
One thing I really like about Wolfpack is how meta they are. They all switch instruments when they're playing live. They'll like call out key changes and be like, okay, like, you know, we're going to bring it in for a landing like while they're playing. Right. Which I think is because of how like they're so prolific in how educated they are in music that they're able to play around with it like that while they're performing.
Well, it's nice. It's like a slow pitch for some of us that aren't like super theory right. heads. And yeah. it's like, you're including me in the decision-making and in the live process. And that's cool for people like me that don't watch a lot of like jammy style artists. You know, it's cool.
A lot of improv bands, when they're on stage, they have a myriad of hand signals, gestures, certain looks. And I really wish more bands did a good job of, even though it's ruining the magic, right? For someone that's really into a band, it would be so fascinating to see what it all meant and their mm-hmm. process and stuff. And I do appreciate Wolfpack from cluing us in, especially during their live shows, how they do things like that.
Band communication is like definitely like a top thing, even whether it be in improvised situations or non-improvised. When I used to do post-rock bands, we used to kind of, we had our songs preset, like with the chord structures, but we would kind of, we would like decide when to go loud and when to come down. And all of that decision would be just like, I'm looking at the drummer. I'm like, all right, do a build. I'm like shaking my head, like time for the build up, you know,
it's time for the thing. The next thing.
Let's do it.
How did you start playing music, Dan? You said that you were just mentioned you were in a band. So how'd that start? What did you play?
I played lead guitar for the most part. I started guitar back when I was like 10 years old. So that was my first musical instrument. So
would you ever consider putting guitar in your new Dan Mason Vaporwave music sometime?
I have recently my last vocal based album that came out in 2020 actually had a lot of acoustic guitar on that one.
Oh, great.
I try to do like a mix of like emo with Midwest emo with a vaporwave. To varying results of I don't know how people really feel about it.
It can be a similar aesthetic vibe, right? Like, you know, relaxed and contemplative and, you know, mm-hmm. type of vibe. So
absolutely.
All right. Well, why don't we go on to the next one?
Yeah, let's do it. All right, you're watching Galaxy Jams Reacts. We are here with our special guest, Dan Mason, Vaporwave artist extraordinaire. How are you doing today, Dan?
I'm doing great. Awesome. Excited to hear some jams.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's get into this one. It's Oldie But Goodie from 1974. Song appears in the 1976 film Rocky. Summer Madness by Kool and the Gang reached number 35 in the Billboard Hot 100 and number 36 in the Hot Soul single charts and has subsequently become one of the most R&B sampled songs. A little bit different look at Kool and the Gang than you're used to the Celebrate thing, but very, very cool indeed.
Oh, this is a classic.
Sounds like a great recording for its time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like the drums are coming through like butter.
I want to say it was 8-track recording. Maybe 16. Not sure off the top of my head.
I'm living through these tones.
That jacket.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Those glasses. Holy crap.
I tried to find it right now if I could.
This doesn't sound like it's from the 70s. Sounds way ahead of its time.
Oh yeah.
Oh, they're all matching. Yes.
I could totally see how this would be a sample track. That's got a really good groove to it.
It's been sampled like crazy.
I like how subdued the guitar is. And for the most part, everything is being really held back except for that synth earlier.
I'm mean, it's fitting we got you on today, Dan. I feel like, you know, in the way that Vaporwave puts you in a state of mind, this is a state of mind right now.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Definitely. This is like prime sample candy for that genre.
I think an artist named Vanilla has sampled this song.
Uh-huh.
No. Yes.
The psychedelic.
Dan, what do you think about it?
This song kicks fucking ass. Yeah. I've heard this song many a times. I'm trying to actually try to remember what the name of that synthesizer is.
I can't remember it either.
I wish I knew. It's a very, very, very well-known sound.
I don't think it's a Moog or anything like that, is it?
I don't think it's a Roland or something.
It doesn't have enough like buttons and knobs for it to be a Moog.
Yeah, that time. It doesn't have that wood grain like sides going on. I'm trying to figure out what it is. Yeah.
I don't know. I know my back in that period of time, my brother was really into making his own synthesizers, and they had like kits out that people would make their own synthesizers to, and you get like four or five sounds out of each one.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
Damn, that's awesome. He'd be
in his room like soldering.
Yeah, and I think one thing that's so interesting about those type of synths is how modular they are, and you can like literally put it together like puzzle pieces and have like one thing running into the next thing, running into the next thing. And you ever see like pictures of like producers and they have like a whole room and like literally like the entire wall is just one giant old school looking computer with like a million knobs and buttons and stuff like that?
Oh yeah.
It's fascinating.
I think the song also, like you're saying, it's ahead of its time. It was like, you know, it was considered space jazz back then. I do agree. I think that a lot of this kind of sound has been taken into all the like chill pop and the stuff that's going on now. Some of this kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, the 70s are so in right now, like just the aesthetics, the tones, like where everything always comes back and it's going to be slightly different. And I don't know, really into it.
I really like chill hop music, and I feel like this is like a predecessor towards that genre. Right. And all you need to do is add those modern electronic elements to it, and it would definitely be on a chill hop album.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Those drums are perfect.
Yeah, perfect.
Nice and tight.
Yeah, he's letting them do all the work.
Like a delay on that sense too, I think, as well. Yeah, I think that's what really makes it feel so big. Yeah, just beautiful. In your face.
Beautiful. I like how it takes it up to that, the highest of high.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't do that, but that's they get to that one right before and then they stop there, but that's just
Insane how popular the song was and is, but how unconventional it is for that genre. Mm-hmm. Usually they're putting together very specific vocal arrangements, more like upbeat funk.
Oh, yeah.
And this is just kind of like a chill interlude that became very, very popular.
Definitely.
It's just very interesting. And like I said, Dan, you know, to me, this serves a state of mind and like trying to put you into space in the way that, for me, that's what Vaporwave is, and at least my starting relationship with it. And it's kind of interesting to see that.
Yeah,
created it, so very early.
Oh yeah. I mean, this is the era that vaporwave, like it's like this. And then like a little bit into the '80s and some chill stuff in the '90s that like vaporwave definitely like grabs from. This is like the vibe. There's another band from this era, like SOS, that's also kind of got similar vibes in a lot of their songs that's sampled heavy all the time too. So like this era is like, that's, my God, that synth sound, brother. I just love that synth
sound. Yeah, it really cut through like everything. And I feel like if I was on, if I was in the '70s and taking 70s grade LSD and listening to that, I feel like my whole entire like soul would be like splitting in half.
Well, just to dwell on that for a second, because we're talking about analog keyboards and whatnot. Coming up in a pop rock band, you know, I'm used to so many artists, like we were saying, trying to sound legit and trying to produce, sing a similar sound. And, you know, coming up in that time frame where so many artists are just like trying to get the same guitar tone using the same heads, the same compressors, this era, you had knobs and you had vacuum tube technology. You had these warmer tones that just, it was much more difficult to rip off someone else. And finally now in the 2020s with all of like the Helix technologies and these new modeling technologies, finally, we're getting back to this point where people are going to have so much more control over their own tones and creating a, an identity instead of just like every band sounding the same or every artist sounding the same.
Yeah. And absolutely. Another thing is that right now you can look up your favorite guitar player and there's a video out there where that guitar player would literally go through their entire pedal board for you.
Right.
And, you know, show you all their secrets. And we were actually talking about this on a previous show about like guitar tabs. Like before, if you wanted to learn a song, you had to literally just listen to it over and over again, figure it out. And now you just go online and anything you want. And so for them to be able to get that tone by themselves, and the only way you can get that is by tinkering with it endlessly until you hit that sweet spot and then pray to God that you can pull it off live. Right
It's easier to not blow out your ears by hearing the same tones over right. or even worse across track by track right. Whereas like you're not writing a novel anymore, you're writing the same paragraph over and over.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah.
Precisely. And they had a lot less tools in the toolbox, you know, to make things happen. Dan, we did mention that this would be a good song to sample. So how do you find your music that sometimes you're using samples for? How does that happen? Do you go for like a certain vibe or do you just keep cruising until a part sticks out to you? How does that work for you?
It's just music exploration, just kind of, you find a starting point. Like you could start with like, Kool and the Gang. And then, what I used to do is I used to just go to the recommended tracks on the side and just go through them. And that was back in like maybe like 2016. I used to do that. The way that YouTube recommends stuff nowadays, it's kind of like, oh, you've already seen half of these things, but it's also right. Like, it's still helpful. But I usually just go through that and I just go down a rabbit hole and then I find something that like I haven't heard before. And then something that sounds fucking cool. And then I just kind of steal that there and just kind of yoink and then take little parts of it, chop it up, slow it down, see how it feels. And if it doesn't work, go to the next one. And that's just part of the ease of modern sampling is just it's everything is there right in front of you. Back in the old days, you had to go to like a record store, find a record with that. You're like, oh, this will probably be good and hope it's fucking good. So nowadays it's much easier.
You mentioned earlier in the show that you used to play guitar in a rock band. How did that transition into the genre that you're most well known for now?
So, it taught me all like what, like the basic ideas of music and how music is structured, just starting with guitar and just like kind of learning that. And then of course doing band in school and stuff like that. I learned a lot of stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe it helps you like just kind of get an understanding of what the musicians are doing in a lot of songs and you kind of like kind of can feel for it. And then you can kind of twist that and make what they're doing into what you want them to do and sound like they're doing.
Yeah, definitely. I think that there's a fine art of accentuating different things, you know, to really make it stand out for sure. We have someone in the chat who says, last time you said you'd do my song next stream. I don't know if we did that. We said that we would put it into the pile. When you guys suggest music for us, we put it in a big list. And most of the music that we're listening to today was chosen from that list. So make sure to send us a message on Facebook and we will do the very, very best job we can to play your track. We love playing handpicked and fan-picked music. And thank you so much for being here on the show. We're here with our very special guest, Dan Mason, very, very prolific vaporwave artist. And today we're going to be listening to Herbie Hancock. Are you familiar with Herbie Hancock, Dan?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know Herbie Hancock.
Oh, great. Well, this song won a Grammy Award and for Best R&B Instrumental Performance in 1983. It also won 5 MTV Video Music Awards. Herbie Hancock, a famous jazz pianist, keyboardist, band leader, and occasional actor. He helped really redefine the role of the jazz rhythm section. This is one of his best and most influential albums. So this is the 1983 album Future Shock by Herbie Hancock, and this is the song Rocket. Kicking over that milk. Oh my God.
Scratches, dang.
Yeah.
How do you even come up with a video idea like this?
Right, and then get everyone on board. Oh, I know this song.
Gotta love those drum machine drums. Tension.
Dan Mason, tell us what you think about it. How does it make you feel?
This song kicks ass. I mean, it's a classic.
Oh yeah,
it's definitely a classic.
Another classic here. It kicks ass. I just love how dry sounding
right.
the synthesizer is. It's like the drum machine stuff going
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what drum machine it is off the top of my head. I probably couldn't tell you, but it's I definitely know it's a classic drum machine. I'm gonna guess like 505 or 707, but
you're right. Everything feels very right up front to me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, the thing that's crazy about Herbie Hancock is that, I mean, he's come up through the classic jazz roots. He was with Miles Davis. Mm-hmm. He kind of like experimented with jazz fusion and funk and then kind of went into this route in the 80s. And I just remember the song was just the tits. When it came out, everybody listened to the song, and it was right during the whole breakdance era, and people were like spinning on cardboard out in front of their house with the song. And yeah, the video is
I can
crazy.
Just visualize that.
The video is absolutely nuts. And just to think the time it took to put this video together and
the money
and
the whole entire team,
the engineering,
right.
And how many takes they had to do to get it right.
It's just this surreal piece of art.
And it wasn't for a non well-known person. He's a very well-known person for this to even happen at that time. And like we were talking about with that Wolfpack song, I wonder how such a prolific musician can have an entire room full of people, a team, agree. You know, like, how do you write this out? They're like, okay, when we come in, you know, there's going to be some mannequins and, you know, he's going to knock over some milk in the right. beginning, you know, and no one's like, why the milk? It just happens.
I think Herbie probably went and just and played the part that they show on the TV and the rest was up to some kind of production team.
Some director somewhere was like, I'm going to show my stuff. I mean, this is like, I mean, music videos, especially like in this era, like MTV, you got to have like that eye catching music video that makes it suck in someone's head. And like, right. Oh, this is the song from that music video with the weird legs on the boom arm and the guy kicking over the milk at the beginning. Uh-huh. Right. Yeah.
And one other thing I'll comment on is I really liked how they were chopping and skewering. They were doing like different glitches and different like da, 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 da. Right. And I think that,
yeah,
you know, to bring that in is cool.
A lot of sampling kind of stuff in here. I think this is around the time when samplers were becoming more widely available. I mean, all the sounds here are like all like the percussion sounds and stuff like that are all sampled and
mm-hmm.
Right.
It's
right.
not sampled, they're synthesized. Like there's this like really high pitched, like kind of like really, I'm trying to do it as best as I can, do it just as much as I can. That really high pitched, like kind of percussion, just like synth sound. It's just, could be just someone just on a key, just hitting it one time. But like, you probably hit that once, put it in your sampler, and then you just let it go on loop with like a TR-707 or 505 with the drum array going on. Oh, yeah. So neat.
That little digital cowbell.
It's like a mannequin party. It's
like David Bowie's hair.
A little talk box sampler? Vocoder?
Yeah, I think coming it's an early vocoder, yeah.
Oh, video, Jesus.
That's really cool.
Like a whacked out clav.
I really love the bird in the window. That broke through.
Let's go.
A little like a synthesized clavichord sound going on here, or is that clavichord through like a flanger phaser?
Turning the funk into a 10.
Oh yeah.
What's up? Gotta destroy the computer at the end.
You gotta. Why wouldn't you?
I would love to see like a jam band do like a 20-minute version of that song.
Yeah.
And go off on it.
I like, Dan, that you mentioned that this was like an amalgamation of different samples. And I felt like the video was like that too. Just like a ton of random things thrown together that somehow made sense in an idiosyncratic way. And I feel like that this song is like that too. It's so unconventional for being such a prolific song.
The mirror of like the technology and like the animatronics having fun along with the playfulness of the music is, you know, it is a visual representation of what you're feeling when you're listening to the song. It's cool.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. The editing in that was
perfect.
Fucking crazy. Like, okay. I don't know how they did it back then. I don't know if they were doing it like with digital tape or something, because they had digital video still, at some point. Yeah,
that was still definitely back in the VHS beta world, so they're probably just, you know, splicing it together somehow,
and maybe
like
forth.
A video toaster, that was something back then.
How do they make choices like that in a video? Because I kept watching it and I was like waiting for every single random thing we were seeing. I was like, what does this mean? How does this have meaning? And so, because I'm imagining when they're pitching this thing, it has to be like a script, right? So how are they like throwing this in there and they're like, oh no, it needs to be in there because of this.
We need more bird head through the window.
You know? Yeah, we need two things of milk, not one, because two represents the 2 years of his life that, you know what I mean? It's like
right here is when the legs pop out of the closet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh god.
A great classic.
It's both horrifying and I could chill with those mannequins too, because they seem like they're a good time, but I couldn't be too close with them. We wouldn't hang out after work.
Yeah, they get in that uncanny valley a little bit, but it's like, yeah, you know, they're still chill, but
maybe just this one house party.
Yeah, it reminded me of like a Goosebumps book, like right before things get really bad.
You know? Goosebumps.
Yeah. Well, that was great.
All right, so we're going to come back with a guest pick from Dan next.
Hi, I'm Dan Mason. You're watching Galaxy Jams Reacts. And today, we're going to be listening to The Rippingtons' Tourists in Paradise, a little jazz fusion fun little bop with some tropical flair. It's the best I can do to describe it.
That was great.
Oh, I like the album art. Oh, this is already so on brand. It's got those like echo jams in it too.
I'm pretty sure a lot of people have sampled this song in the vaporwave community.
This is taking me to Sega Genesis for some reason.
Yeah,
like Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's that era for sure.
Love this.
I gotta try not to sing along. It's like empty, but there's so much happening. It's like,
yeah.
It's meaningful space.
Yes.
Ooh. Let's go.
Yes.
Yeah, the saxophone is killer in this band.
Dan, you're invited to DJ my wedding.
Synth brass too.
Yeah, and that vocal sample.
It sounds so familiar.
Yeah, this whole song sounds like so much music I've heard before, probably because they were an influence.
Synthesizer there.
Those hits are a lot of fun.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to stop it there. Right. Dan, Mason, thank you for bringing this song to us. I love it.
This song kicks ass.
Yeah.
It does.
What made you bring this song to share on the program?
I felt that this song, like, just has just so much great production going on. I felt like it has some crazy ass kind of jazz fusion-y writing happening that I was just like, this song just is just one of the most well put together songs that I've heard, especially like in this kind of style of like this kind of 90s era kind of smooth jazz fusion kind of thing going on here. Just, I feel like it hits all the points. I just want more people to know about it.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. It really reminds me a lot of prog rock bands. Mm-hmm. It has that prog sensibility with the different hits and the super busy bass. And every single layer they've introduced has just been like absolutely immaculate. I can't wait. I'm going to listen to this whole album right after the show.
This is the reason why so many people tried to do this. And now we have certain types of like doctor's office and like elevator
music.
Oh,
my God, you're right.
You know, like this is when we went to see The Dark Knight. And we're like, the Joker is a really fascinating character way back in the day. And then it evolved into something cliche and lame as it kind of evolved over time.
Definitely.
Like, this is the original reason why this is the original good version of what was misappropriated.
People knock on music because of where it went. But at the time, you know, this was like it. This was it.
Oh, yeah.
Like you see the reason why people wrote so many other types of songs like this.
Many of the Rippington songs have been played on the Weather Channel's local On the Eights forecast segments. And that might be where you might have heard this. It's like, and now the weather in Norfolk.
Yeah, it doesn't get much more vaporwave than that.
And like, I wish I could have experienced this in the environment they wanted me to experience this,
like
music.
In a dance hall, you know? with hundreds of people all just getting down.
I feel
their live sets are fucking insane too. But I think there's another band that's very similar to them called T Square, based out of Japan. And I think they did a collaboration set where both bands are basically competing with each other.
Oh, that's great!
It's so fucking cool.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, take it again.
Yeah, I just want to experience this the way they want me to experience it.
Right.
Yeah, sitting on a beach drinking like a margarita or something, or a pina colada.
There you go.
Definitely.
I feel like I'm about to close a big drug dealer and bug drug deal on like the streets of, you know, the beaches of Florida.
And like so many of the instruments are like sound so purposefully fake, but they all exist in the same beautiful universe.
Perfectly put. Ooh. I've heard this song sampled, this part sampled.
Oh yeah, for sure. Get into Vaporwave a little bit, you'll find it.
It almost sounds like the Entertainment Tonight theme song too.
Yeah.
From that time, from like...
Also the dynamics in it.
Just, oh yeah, it's great.
It's loud and then it gets quiet and you gotta have that dynamic range.
This is like a great 80s movie montage moment.
Yeah, it's like my life.
Things are going really well at this point in the film.
I get more tourism video for Miami Beach. A lot of quick cuts to people in bathing suits.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
You can enjoy the sand, the sun, and the sounds in Miami Beach.
Oh my God, that's so perfect. Give it to me again.
I want to say the synths they're using are Korg M1s. Sounds like them.
The nice breathy pad sounds like you can hear the air.
Oh yeah, just like that little bit of noise on the top of these of the oscillation there, just like just that breathiness.
I love those sharp hits. That's like a hallmark of the genre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely like that synthesized. I think it's called like a, I don't know if it's wavetable or it's a sample library kind of thing. I forget what it's called, but it's like that kind of. They basically take a sample of a actual instrument and then they make it into a synthesizer sound, right. And that's how you get that really kind of like almost the sound of like the brass hits. But you know it's fake kind right. of thing.
It's,
like, it's still fake, but it's like close enough.
It's like a plastic sound, you know, that's put in there, but
too clean. It's just too clean.
Oh yeah. I remember back in the '80s, my brother, he was 14 years older than I was. So I got to play with all his cool toys and he had an Ensoniq keyboard, which all the sounds were on like these 3.5-inch like floppy disks that you'd put in. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those sounds were actually, that was the whole big thing, actually digitally sampled from the actual instrument, but they always sounded like that, where it was like just kind of a little bit fake, but not fake because it actually is the instrument, but it has no like, when you listen to the actual instrument, there's a lot more like just, say like a sax, like the breath and the way it's played, you can't really get that.
It's going to be like the same sound. Attack.
Yeah, it's the same attack and all that kind of stuff because they didn't have the good controls for that yet. And, but it was always fun to play with those instruments. Yeah.
The synths that they're using are operating on like a similar thing where it's like a little floppy disk you put in there and then you get like a library of stuff to choose from. You have several floppies and probably expansions that you can buy and stuff like that. These synths were also very expensive. And I think those floppies were also very expensive.
They were definitely expensive. So,
I feel like people were chasing that unnatural sound, you know, that electronic sound. And one thing I can't help but think about is like, bread. So you have bread, right? And then sliced bread became that new thing. But now everyone's chasing organic, unsliced bread because they want to go back to that real that realness, right? When before the new thing was mechanically separated, you know,
Wonder Bread.
Exactly. And just the same as that, you know, it's so interesting how it comes full circle and what tools are in the toolbox for people and when they like to use it.
Yes. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, some of the tones might be cringe to some people, but now it is completely fresh again.
Yeah. It's just got like a different like feel to it nowadays. And most doctor's offices I go to, they just play the pop radio.
Right.
Nowadays. So it's like, you're not like, oh, I'm not in an elevator. I'm not in a doctor's office. It's like, oh, what is this?
And right.
So, this is the stuff my parents didn't want me to listen to because they thought this stuff was just boring doctor's stuff. And then when I got older, I listened to it. It's like, this is fucking new to me. And it's like, oh, wow, this is cool.
Like I was listening to a Bandsplain on Steely Dan, and they were talking about like how you go to CVS. You probably have heard Steely Dan. And like my family's older. My dad's deaf in one ear. So I missed decades of music before my time. And so like those, like I said earlier, experiencing some of this stuff in the wrong context just takes you out of like what the meaning is behind the music. And it's exciting to have it represented from you and to get to experience it in this environment.
I feel like that when I listen to Phish, even though Phish is, you know, been around forever and they're still very, very much a big band. I mean, back in the '90s when it was new, like those songs were everything, you know, and I always try and listen to Phish, not from a, you know, oh, I'm jaded because I've been in the jam band scene for 20 years and I've heard Possum a million times, trying to remember, you know, what kind of feeling it would be to hear Possum for the very first time and be like, oh my God, this is so fresh. It's so new and it's so now. One last thing I'll say about this song is that I was thinking how perfect this would be for vaporwave production because we're listening to it. It was happy. It was boppy. But I know that when you slow it down, it's so easy to have like that dreary, like foreboding, like, you know, what's going to happen next type of vibe. That's like you're at the edge of your seat with it's nostalgic, but you still get this like evil undertones. And I can definitely see this song being that if you add the proper elements.
Absolutely.
To it.
It's crazy what just slowing a song down will do to it, to just like the feeling of it. And that's what's so cool about what happens in vaporwave is just like, oh, this song sounded like this when it was at this speed, but then I slow it down and it sounds more like melancholic and like
dissonant
and it can even give you like feelings of like maybe when you reverb it to hell and back too, it can even give you kind of senses of like liminal, almost like a liminal space kind of feel where it's like once full of people and now it's empty and desolate.
Oh my God. That's a perfect way to put that, Dan.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Hey guys, welcome to Galaxy Jams Reacts. We're here with our very special guest, Dan Mason, Vaporwave Extraordinaire, and we're listening to Lotus. They are a groove jam band, electronic jam band, originally from Indiana, and now they're based in Philadelphia. This is off of their brand new album coming out August 26th called Bloom and Recede. This is Lotus with their song Pacific Glow.
Already like those tents.
Oh, I think you'd really like them. They're one of my favorite bands.
Is that a Nord?
Oh yeah.
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 Yeah, down to the bottom left there, yeah. Is that a
like that fuzz? They have like that lo-fi fuzz.
Yeah, it just gives it a little something in the background. Oh yeah. Those 2010 bouncy like I've been watching a lot of Love Island and I hear a lot of that tone.
ERS guitar. Bass on the drums there, I see.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was always just the Caesar drums made me think of this. This comes in good.
This is night driving music for me.
We'll be right back.
the guitar doesn't need to do too much.
Even though he shreds on guitar, but in these studio efforts, it's been held back. Really well-crafted synth work. Oh, yeah.
That's a real shaker.
Yeah.
I like how they can keep it minimal, but yet full.
Right.
Nice.
Notice they're using like a sequencer on this.
Uh-huh. Some kind of arpeggiator.
Yeah. It's interesting. Usually you follow the drummer, but in this case, the drummer might have to follow the arpeggiator.
Uh-huh. Great point.
All the patch cables on that, holy shit.
Dan Mason, your thoughts on this?
It kicks ass, I will say, man. Those synth sounds are really good. It's got that chill vibe. The percussion really like is really killing it with like the shakers and just the laid back kind of drums going on here. I like it. So,
listening to your pick earlier, the Rippingtons, this song sounds like a really natural progression of that easy listening vibe. But of course, they're bringing it in with a much more like four to the floor, energy forward type of deal. And I like how just like in that other song, it starts with a lot of different pieces and then they slowly come together in different ways. And I like this the most out of the other Lotus songs from this album that we've listened to so far. This is a great track so far.
Everything's very deliberate.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Really deliberate.
This just came out too, like July 22nd, right?
Yeah. So that's 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Just leave him.
Yeah, they just love
just anime. Where he started from. He's all by himself again.
Nice. They all just quit. That's it. You can do this yourself.
He's like,
no, he's leaving.
He's like, my work here is done.
I'm gonna check my Facebook.
Nord, you got this.
Oh, that's nice.
I got the sequence loop recorded. I'm just gonna let it go.
Oh, I really like that ending. Oh, look at Tim on the right. What a badass.
That's great.
Damn right. Yeah, it reminded me a lot of like Tycho, a lot of sentiment from Tycho and like Boards of Canada, but of course like way more sped up. Also, like other instrumental bands like Explosions in the Sky. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a lot of vibes from that. Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like just in the sense that it's the lead lines don't feel meandering; they feel
concise.
I mean, you could be a hook, like a vocal hook. Which sometimes that's one of the things that takes me out of like more jammy, like instrumental music is just when I feel like they're kind of just noodling around, and
which is what jam bands tend to do.
One of the best advice for like improvisation and like jamming I ever heard was from an Adam Neely video where he talked about like, if you're improvising a lead, play it and then try to play it again. Like, so like you improvise it, then play it once again to like really like kind of make it like feel like it was purposeful. You know what right. I mean? He even asks like his students, like, hey, when you play that bass line, play it again. Can you play it again? Like, do you know what you just played? It's like kind of pay attention. Don't just like play the notes because they feel right.
Right.
Play the notes and know what notes you're playing, and then maybe just play it again just to make it sound like it was like a freaking hook, you know?
Right.
And that's kind of what I felt like they were doing some of in there, if they were doing any like kind of like improv stuff. So,
and I feel like when improvising, the difference between something being on purpose and a mistake is whether you do it more than once.
Right.
Like when I'm playing drums, we actually do an improv show here in this studio. And when I play the drums, I'll make a mistake and hit the snare too early or too late, but then I'll do that three more times, and all of a sudden it turned into a thing I decided to do on purpose rather than a mistake, which is what it really was.
Yeah, I've done the same with bass.
Repetition legitimizes, I think, is what to make it more concise. And music especially, it's just doing it again. It just
You learn the rules, so you know when you can break them, and it's those like blue notes and things. So if you can turn a mistake into a blue note, then you're just being deliberate and you're being brilliant.
Absolutely. There was a guy I met once at an open mic night. He says, if you ever make a mistake, just make the mistake again and call it jazz.
Yeah, that's a well-known saying. And I think that Lotus does a great job of bringing in different sounds that are like really on purpose, you know, instead like the first time they come up with something, it's like, oh, did they mean to do that? And then they hammer it in. You're like, they definitely meant to do it.
It was really good. Yeah, for sure. It all felt purposeful. It all felt like if they were improvising in any of that, man, it didn't feel like it. So
yeah, I'm a big fan of theirs. And one thing that they're very, very well known for is their live show. Essentially, these studio tracks are just trampolines that, you know, this song, it was probably like 4 minutes or 5 minutes. They could make it into a 20-minute jam, which is what they normally do. So I'll make sure after the show, and also to put in the thing in this video, right, the information about the video, to put a Lotus song or two that I really enjoy that's like a live show that they absolutely crush it. So this was a really, really good one by Lotus. Can't wait to hear the album when that drops in August.
Hey, watching Galaxy Jams Reacts with our special guest today, Dan Mason, wonderful vaporwave sensation. How you doing? You having a good time so far today?
Having a great time. This is sick.
That's awesome. It's nice to sit around listening to music with friends, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, here in Galaxy Jams Reacts, you're going to be checking out Odessa featuring Bette Lavette. This is from a brand new song from July 22nd as well. It's called Last Goodbye. Let's just get into it.
Let me down easy, for your love for me is gone. Let me down easy.
Sampled vocals for sure.
Since you feel
this is from a 1965 song, Let Me Down Easy.
It sounds like AI separated. because there's a little bit of digital artifacting in those vocals. Let me down easy.
I hope I know where this is going. Let me down easy.
I know this is CG, but I just kept thinking in my head, imagine if they made this practical.
Right.
That'd be a terrifying room to be in. Oh, yeah, I don't want to be in this room.
That's very cool.
Made me think of a D20.
Ooh, that's a different direction than I thought it was going to go in.
Yeah, I like it.
Great music in this room, but I still don't want to be in here.
That rattly sound is really neat.
Yeah.
It's a granulizing synth, I think? Or no, it's just some percussive. It's just percussive sample.
It gives this kind of winding up, winding down, push and pull.
They're doing like they're just like probably just turning a knob, just slowing it down.
Uh huh.
Speeding it up. When you're by me, baby, doesn't hurt so much to smile. We promise that we
So Dan, what do you think about it?
It's a bop, I will say.
Yes,
definitely. Have you ever heard of Odessa before?
No, I've heard the name. I've never listened to them because I had some friends that are really into like EDC stuff, which is like electronic dance like festival stuff. And I've seen that name like on like stuff like that. I haven't listened to like popular electronic dance music since like 2010, I want to say.
Odessa does sound a bit different, you know, but they still are on like that EDC circuit. Actually, Billboard named Odessa as their number 10 on their 2018 rankings of dance musicians. So they're number 10 in the top 100. Also, I read an article on Polestar that in 2018 or 2017, I don't remember, that they were the highest grossing touring act in the world. So, when you mentioned like all those lights, like if they could pull it off live, they're one of those bands that they could definitely do.
They
that.
Could do it.
Fuck. And my last thing I'll say is the whole room reminds me, like, have you ever played this game called Half-Life before?
Oh yeah.
So in the very beginning, when everything goes wrong and he's in that room where he's pushing the alien crystal into the beam of light and then the whole world goes to hell, that's what this reminds me of.
Oh god. Yeah, it does. Holy shit. Why are they doing that? Why are they opening a portal to another dimension? Please don't.
I feel like all the choices are unexpected.
Yes.
And
like this.
Yeah. That's what's making it a great listen.
I really like the symmetry of the video. I know the song itself is fantastic, but I'm just like admiring the symmetry of the shots.
And it has
that with CGs and stuff.
I agree.
The bass line's dope.
Yeah. That bass line kicks fucking ass.
A nice full sound too. Well produced.
An arpeggiator in the background. Like in the right ear.
It's sitting right on top of the music.
Yeah. It's like on top of the music, but still like in the background. It's not like in your face.
There's my D20 again.
Dang, that's your D20, man.
That's what happens when I roll a 20.
The whole room turns into this. Oh god.
Double damage.
Please no natural 20. Please no natural 20.
Seizure warning. I
that off.
This would be such a raging dance party live.
That little twangy guitar.
Yeah.
Ah, classic riser synth.
Pitch over the sample for a half a second there.
Yeah, interesting choice to end the song like that too.
Mm-hmm. There's another 20D die right there. Oh, look at that.
Look at those vinyl. Ooh.
Oh yeah. And you see that symbol? Like you could see that symbol. That's like their symbol. And I felt like when it was going through the shafts of light, it was having those different geometric layers to it.
The dodecahedron.
Very cool.
Yeah, very on brand. This song sounds a lot different than a lot of Odessa that I've listened to. They're more like, I don't remember them having like such like a housey vibe to it, you know? So this is a really interesting direction that they're going in.
It reminded me of like Moby back in the day that would use kind of some samples that was like that. It'd be definitely more modern choice of synths and stuff that they're using here, but it's still kind of had the, there's another song that sounded a little bit like that he put out like early 2000, but Bette LeVette, I'm gonna check that out. That 1965 song Let Me Down Easy that sampled, and that sounds pretty cool. She sounds like she's going off.
That singing was very good.
I feel like it added us so much energy to the song. Like it easily could have been a totally different direction if they sampled different vocals. It could have been more kind of like spacey and chill, and and like just that soulful vocal just really just like it juxtaposes so beautifully.
It was powerful. You know, the whole song was strong.
It kicked ass, like for sure. It definitely, like you said, it was very powerful. Because those vocals by themselves were probably super powerful. And then just the accompanying synthesizers and just all of it just fucking made it very like, wow.
Yeah.
Big room sound. Cause that's what they are. They're a big room band. They play in front of, you know, 80,000 people every time they play. So they have to mold their sound to fit those huge sound systems.
Yeah. 80,000 is a small show for them probably.
Yeah, you're right. It is. They're very, very large. Thank you guys so much. If you're watching, this is such a great conversation with Dan, and so happy to have Adam here in the studio with us.
Always a pleasure.
Definitely.
I'm Mike. We got Mr. EJ. What did you have for lunch, Adam? Did you eat today?
I had some leftovers. I had a pasta rosa with prosciutto and a little, a little cream sauce.
Did you make it?
Oh no. I burnt my hand last time I tried to make a grilled cheese.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cooking's tough. You have to
It's
a long, arduous thing. It's pretty much just like learning from your mistakes over and over and over and over again.
Oh yeah.
And I always get disheartened when I make something that I've, you know, crushed it in the past, and then like I fuck it up and I'm like, oh,
I'll make you a dope cocktail, but if you need some cooking, no, that's not me. I love going to good chefs and have them introduce me to new things.
Yeah. Dan, what did you have for lunch today? Have you eaten anything yet?
I had some ramen. That was it. Just some cup ramen.
Classic. Cool.
Just want to see what we're working with.
I'm probably going to get something a little bit after this. I didn't want to eat too much before this because I don't want to be like having like burps the whole freaking time. You know what I mean?
There's like nothing wrong with a cup of noodles. Like Dragon Ball Super, when they're trying to convince the God of Destruction not to destroy planet Earth, they're trying to figure out what the best food that they can show the God of Destruction to earn his favor. And it was cup of noodles.
So there you go. I like putting an egg in it too. I think that like makes all the difference.
If I had eggs, I just, every time I buy eggs, they go bad before I finish them, because I just so bad at just like, it's more my laziness that's the problem. I'm just like, oh, I don't feel like cooking eggs today. I don't feel like cooking, and then, but yeah,
a 2 minute treat.
Yeah, I wish I had,
know.
Yeah, definitely. I wish I had the discipline to cook everything in my fridge before it went bad.
I don't think anybody does. Do you do that too? Like, I'm always scared that I'm gonna tear through everything too quickly, and then I wait too long, and it goes bad.
Yeah,
is that just me?
Well, one thing I've noticed is that the stuff I get from the supermarket goes, especially vegetables, go bad in like 2 or 3 days. But if you get it from like farmer's market, it goes bad in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Because it's probably been two or three weeks before it got to the shelf.
So if you ever want worry about that, you go spend a little bit extra and get it from there, and then it'll last you longer.
You're worth it.
It is, and it tastes better.
All right, we got time for one more, right?
Galaxy Jams reacts to our lunches.
All right, Dan, we're gonna do. We're gonna end this with your next pick.
Yeah.
So this is the brave little abacus song that we're gonna do. You did a great job before. Just introduce yourself, introduce the song, introduce the program, and we can jump into it.
Hi, I'm Dan Mason. You're watching Galaxy Jam Reacts, and today we're listening to the Brave Little Abacus. Please don't cry. They stopped hours ago. This is a classic emo jam here. I think this song is just, if anybody wants to get into like DIY, do-it-yourself production, this is a song and an album. The whole album this is from, you need to listen to it. It's some of the craziest like freaking DIY stuff I've ever heard in my life. And it's so emotional and so well written. Oh, it kicks fucking ass. Let's get right into it.
Really lo-fi.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, the drummer.
Driving.
Yeah, the drummer's going ham.
Yeah.
I feel like you can feel like what it's like being in that room.
Seeing them live would just feel like out of control.
Yeah, sadly, I think they broke up a long time ago. I think they broke up right after this album dropped.
A lot of us have had a memory being at a show like this, what it would feel like.
Some people don't like his vocals because he's very I think he has like a little bit of a lisp, but like I love it.
Once again, it's those little things that make it memorable,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really, it's raw. He's putting all his emotion into the performance. You can tell.
I think that's what I really like about the production of this. It being so lo-fi and very DIY, is it's just so raw with emotion.
I like that jangly guitar.
Oh, yeah.
How did you come across this?
A friend of mine in Orlando introduced me to them, and I think they're just known in like the emo scene, just like the kind of DIY emo scene, as like this album alone is just like a holy grail of it, basically. I would say it's just it's so fucking good. Yeah. But yeah, a friend of mine introduced it to me. It just stuck with me, and this is like fucking probably like almost 10 years ago now, maybe 8 years ago, I want to say. And it just stuck with me in this album. I come back to it all the fucking time now, because it's just such cool how it's written, how it's composed, and how it flows into each other. It's just so good.
It's very inviting. It puts me into a state of mind from like when we were touring. You know, you'd be playing a show, like a house show in New Jersey, and they just kind of open up the garage. The sun is setting, like they got their natty lights on top of their amps, and like you've had one or two, you got your arm around somebody, and like you're just completely in that moment, and it's so real. Even though like it's just a small house show with maybe 60 kids there, you are living for that moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Adam, I know that this is more in your wheelhouse. Does this remind you of any other bands? Does this sound like anything else to you?
Oh, man, I mean, a bunch of bands that we've played with on the road and over the years. I mean, it's just all of that, you know, 2010s, early 2000s, like emo bands. It feels like so many of them.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like a lot of them have a lot of the same influences, because that genre just sounds so similar between the different bands. But I could really see why this one, especially for their live shows, would stand out. I mean, that would be, I was getting the vibe of like being like wasted as hell, both my arms around my best buddies, and we're singing our hearts out. Mm-hmm.
That's like I mean it. I feel like I've been in the room with.
I definitely have been. Happening. Yeah. I was trying to remember who this reminds me of, and I can't remember the only band name that comes to my mind. And I might be absolutely wrong when I say this, but it kind of reminds me of like Menthol. There's this band from back in that same time that kind of reminds me of. But no, definitely very cool.
I feel like we're at a point where we can appreciate this more. Like once again, like with streaming, with digital music production being as accessible as it is. I remember when we were burning CDs and like when you're trying to get people to buy your CD, and once again, you're trying to prove to everyone that you're good and that you're legitimate. It's like, please listen to my record. I promise it doesn't sound like you recorded it through a tin can. Like I promise it sounds good. But now, you know, just in the way that a lot of the music videos we watch are meant to look retro, they have grainy effects, and like having grainy production effects, like you can have the deliberate lo-fi choice, and that's a distinctive, purposeful decision. Mm-hmm. And like, this is, you know, it pulls you back into it because it is so raw and accessible and real. When back in the day, like 15 years ago, that would have been, oh, this just sounds bad. And I want to listen to something that they spent more money on production. But like, this is a whole universe that you can exist in.
Like I said, the lo-fi and DIY makes it feel more personal and more approachable.
Yes.
I feel like you're getting a more raw, just like, this is my feelings and this is my emotions, as direct and as close to you as I possibly can. Whereas like sometimes production, having something a little bit overproduced, is very dangerous with this kind of
stuff.
Takes
you out of it.
And it'd be like, oh, there's no connection. I don't really connect with them. There's thousands of dollars of production between me and them. Like, I don't know. So yeah, just very close, just very just raw.
So. Yeah, it feels like a lot of inexperienced but passionate musicians got into a room, put a microphone in the middle of the room, and just played their guts out. And and the raw, unrefined, you know, product that we're listening to is, I feel like, a sound that a lot of, as time goes on, a lot of bands are going to try and chase, you know, that sound that they're going to try and chase that raw, unproduced indie sound and do it in a very, very high produced way.
And I'll tell you, it makes me think of a band called Jet Noise here in Virginia Beach, like way back in the day. It's like, this is that song that everyone's like screaming for, like, play this, like, and then they're gonna lose it. It's like the big single from the Hometown Heroes.
And I like how they came out the gate swinging, and then like they let you cry it out in the middle, you know. And then they're probably gonna hopefully bring it in for a nice rock star finish. So let's keep it going.
You'll see. Gotta have the toy piano,
you know.
that's cool.
Okay. horns. Listen to the band Clever Girl, but they got like horns in this kind of style.
I'll check it out.
There we go.
This is nice.
Dynamics.
Chills. Got chills.
This feels like a New Jersey set closer.
It's the second track on the album.
That's cool.
First, the album goes fucking ham.
Oh,
it goes into the next song.
I love when bands do that. You could really feel the energy from the room.
The other thing too, I guess another band it reminds me of is early, like the beginnings of Sunny Day Real Estate.
Yeah.
They kind of
sound like that. They have that circle song. It's that, like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Definitely. We really appreciate you sharing that song with us. And we're coming to the end of our time here. We really want to thank everyone that's watching. I want to thank you, EJ, for being here. I want to thank you, Adam. I'm thinking myself, Mike. And we want to thank our lovely guests, Vaporwave extraordinaire, Dan Mason.
Yes.
You're a lot of fun, man. I want to have you on again. I want to do,
because
we were thinking, and you know, once we become more, have more notorious as a show, I want to do more than one guest. And I think that having you and then having another person that's like an entirely different genre come in and have two guests in here, I think would be absolutely fascinating.
I mean, Dan, you have such an incredible ear, and you have such an incredible knowledge, just your ability to pick out so many incredible details and equipment.
That's something I noticed too.
You know, that it's such a huge asset to everybody tuning in.
Mm-hmm.
I try.
All right. Well, we will be here tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern time with Jake from the jam band Kendall Street Company. And then later on next week, we're going to be interviewing future funk pioneer School Tayama. We also just added Emmy Award winning chill hop producer Cloud Chord onto our roster of guests. Stay tuned to all of our social media. Be sure to let us know what song you want us to react and listen to next. We love taking your requests. Just send it to us on any of our social media, Facebook's fine. And we will see you for the next episode of Galaxy Jams Reacts. See you then.